Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you for your faithfulness. Thank you, Lord, for your grace and mercies. Thank you for your blessings in our lives. Thank you for your favor. Thank you, Lord. We thank you for your protection on our lives. Thank you for your interventions that we have gotten. Thank you, Lord, for making ways for us to move forward. Thank you for helping us to grow spiritually, even to grow in the knowledge of you. Be praised forever in Jesus' name. We are grateful for every good thing you have released into our lives. Well, we are also thankful for the victories and successes and progress and prosperity you have blessed us with. Thank you, Father. We thank you for how you have been so faithful to us since the beginning of this year till this very moment. Thank you, Lord. And we are thankful because your faithfulness shall continue in our lives. Blessed be your holy name. Be praised forever in Jesus' name. We are here this evening to study your scriptures and to learn more of your word, more of your wisdom and knowledge and understanding. I ask, O Lord, that you pour out your spirit upon us as we go through these teachings in Jesus' name. Help us to see new things in your word, new revelations and new insight in Jesus' name. Have your way in this place and keep us focused, not distracted, but focused on you. Thank you, Lord, for we know you're going to do beyond our expectations. Blessed be your holy name. In Jesus' name, we have prayed. Amen. I welcome every one of you to the Lord's presence. We are going to continue with our teaching on persecution. And I will try to move faster so that we can be done with this topic and start a new topic. During the last class, we talked about lying accusations and false charges as one of the ways through which persecutors persecute Christians. They bring false charges and lying accusations. So today we are going to look at another point And this point is under the subtopic that says persecution usually begins with verbal attacks. So the next point is character assassination. Character assassination. And if we're able to finish this point quickly, we'll look at another point. Yeah. What is character assassination? We can call it destruction of a good character. That is, the enemy was able to organize or arrange a situation or an event to destroy your good character or to destroy your good name in the society. Yeah, so you can call that character assassination. And you may find other definitions. Maybe if you search online, yeah, you may find other definitions if you search through, if you do research through the internet. Yeah, so we're going to be looking at places in the scriptures where persecutors assassinate the character of God's people. Let us look at Luke chapter 7. Luke chapter 7, verse 34. Luke chapter 7, verse 34. The Son of Man is come eating and drinking, and ye say, behold, a gluttonous man, and a wine bibber, a friend of publicans and sinners. Verse 35 says, but wisdom is justified of all our children. Let us look at these verses from another translation. Want to look at how the New Living Translation puts it. John chapter 7. Sorry, Luke chapter 7, verse 34 and 35. The Son of Man, on the other hand, feasts and drinks, and you say, is a glutton and a drunkard, and a friend of tax collectors and other sinners. But wisdom is shown to be right by the lives of those who follow it. Yeah, I want you to pay attention to that verse 35. It says, but wisdom is shown to be right by the lives of those who follow it. Yeah. Jesus was talking in this place, and he was actually talking about John the Baptist. Yeah, if you read the earlier verses, he was talking about John the Baptist and how they said he was possessed by a demon because he wasn't eating bread, he wasn't eating bread or drinking wine. You're going to see that in verse 33, Luke 7, 33. For John the Baptist didn't spend his time eating bread or drinking wine, and you see he's possessed by a demon. Yeah, so Jesus was telling them that the people had a problem even with the consecrated life of John the Baptist. Yeah, because he chose to separate himself from the usual pleasurable lifestyles others live. Yeah, and he kind of gave himself to a certain type of diet. Yeah, a diet that many people are not comfortable with. Yeah, and because he was able to do that for years, sometimes alone in the wilderness, they started to say he has a demon or he has a devil. And of course, that is character assassination. And then Jesus went further to say, now the Son of Man is doing the opposite. Though John the Baptist would not relate to it, tax collectors, he wouldn't relate with sinners. But here comes the Son of Man, eating and drinking with tax collectors, with sinners. And then they say he's gluttonous. He's a glutton and a drunkard. Yeah, so they give Jesus these bad names. They said he's a glutton and a drunkard. Yeah. This is an example of character assassination. Yeah. It's the same with you being called names that are not who you really are. Yeah, you've been called names that is contrary to your identity. Yeah, so whenever you are being called names like this ones they called Jesus, you should know that it's a type of persecution. And if you'd be willing to endure such persecution. Yeah, because even Jesus endured all of that. Now, I said you should pay attention to that verse 35. And let me read that verse again. But wisdom is shown to be right by the lives of those who follow it. Yeah, well, what does that mean? It means sometimes the wisdom you have embraced may look like foolishness to others. But it is wisdom on your part. But others may see it as foolishness. Yeah. But one thing about wisdom is that it will stand the test of time. Eventually, wisdom would be proven right. Eventually, wisdom would be proven right. Yeah, and some of you here, you may have made certain decisions and choices about how you want to live your life and what you want to do with your life, how you want to serve God, follow God, love God, and please God. And it may look like you're making a very foolish decision to people out there. But I want you to know that time would prove that you made the wisest decision, or that you've made a wise decision. Yeah, so that was what Jesus was talking about in that place. He was telling them that wisdom, let us look at it again. He said, wisdom is shown to be right by the lives of those who follow it. Yeah, he was telling them that after a period of time, there will be changes in the lives of those who have embraced wisdom. There will always be changes, that is, positive changes, in the lives of those who have chosen the path of righteousness. Because to choose the path of righteousness is wisdom. To choose the path of the fear of God and holiness is wisdom. Yeah, though presently, the people of the world may think you're making a very wrong decision by dedicating your life to Jesus, by consecrating your life to Jesus. But with time, it will be proven that you did not make a wrong decision. For instance, they were judging Jesus for relating with unbelievers, for eating with sinners, even though Jesus wasn't in agreement with the sinful practices of those sinners. If you read all the Gospels in the New Testament, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, and then you study all the teachings and parables of Jesus, you will see that Jesus was completely against the sinful practices of the people. Yeah. So Jesus was friends of sinners, but he wasn't a friend of sin. He wasn't a supporter of iniquity. Yeah, but the religious leaders of those days, they had a problem with that. Yeah, but eventually we saw that many of those sinners became part of the church. They repented and they surrendered their lives to Jesus and to God. Eventually, yeah, in fact, the early church was filled with a lot of Gentiles, a lot of worst sinners, prostitutes, idol worshippers, drunkards, tax collectors. Yeah. And that happened because Jesus drew closer to those people. People that other religious leaders have condemned to be worst sinners, Jesus drew closer to them because he wants to win their souls. So my point is that don't stop doing good because some people are not comfortable with it. Yeah, don't stop serving the Lord. Don't stop your commitment to the Lord because some people out there, or some unbelievers, or some religious believers feels uncomfortable with it, or they felt you are doing the wrong thing, or you are wasting your life, or you are making a wrong decision. Don't stop, because eventually our wisdom is always right. Yeah, wisdom is always right. I pray that you will be wise in Jesus' name. Some years ago, so many people thought I was wasting my time, wasting my life, following Jesus, dedicating my entire time serving the Lord. Yeah. But today, wisdom has proven itself to be right. Yeah, because today some of them, they are now my students. Yeah. They now follow my teachings. Yeah. And they now have a new understanding about life. Yeah, which they didn't have as at that time. Yeah, they now see that following the Lord wholeheartedly pays. Or maybe I should say they've now realized that it pays to follow Jesus and to serve Jesus wholeheartedly. Yeah. So I'm praying for you again that you will be wise in Jesus' name. Or maybe you are thinking, I've been following Jesus and I'm not seeing any changes. Do you know that it is wrong to have such thoughts? I don't know if you get my point. For you to be thinking that you've been following Jesus, and since you've been following Jesus wholeheartedly, you've not seen changes in your life. For you to think that, it means you've not been following Jesus wholeheartedly. I don't know if I'm getting my point. I mean, for you to sit down and think and say, oh, since I've been following Jesus wholeheartedly, serving Him with all my strength, even with my money, I've not really been seeing changes. Yeah, I've dedicated my entire life following the Lord, pleasing the Lord, serving the Lord, and yet I'm not seeing any changes. For you to have that thought alone means you have not been following the Lord wholeheartedly. Yeah, do you know what it means to follow the Lord wholeheartedly? Yeah, it means you are not really looking for anything to gain. Yeah, it means you're not looking, especially physical things or material things or earthly things. Yeah, it means you're not looking for anything to gain. It means you trust Him. You trust Him with your entire life? Are you trusting that whatever you would do with your life is right? It's more like you throw your life. Let's say your life is like a ball. Let's say, for instance, your entire life is like a ball. To follow God wholeheartedly means you throw that ball to God and say, God, do whatever you want with this life. And whatever you do with this life is right by me. I don't know if you are getting my point. Maybe I should say it again. To follow the Lord wholeheartedly means you lay down all your life at His feet, or you throw your life to Him and say, God, that is my life, or this is my life. I don't care what you want to do with it. Yeah, but whatever you do with it is okay by me. Yeah. You may decide to tear it apart. I believe whatever you do with it is right. Yeah. You may decide to, you know, break it because you want to mold it or whatever you want to do. I trust you. I trust your judgment that whatever you will do with my life will be right. Yeah, so that is what it means to follow the Lord wholeheartedly. So now ask yourself, if really you have been following Him wholeheartedly, will you still be saying, oh, since I've been following Jesus, nothing has really changed? Will you say that? Will you be able to say that? For you to say that or think that already means you have not been following Him wholeheartedly. You know, I've gone through all these stages in my life. Now, there are times I used to have those thoughts as well. Oh, I've been doing this for the Lord and I've not seen any change. Yeah, I thought those thoughts were right. I never knew they were wrong thoughts, that I shouldn't be thinking like that. But I'm so grateful that God will always correct me in those days. I pray that when you are going to the path of error, I pray that the Holy Spirit appear to correct you in Jesus' name. Yeah, but my point is that I've never seen any man, both in the Bible and in the physical life, who have wholeheartedly followed the Lord and have regretted doing that. I've never seen any man in that category. And I don't think you will be that person. Yeah. So everybody that have wholeheartedly followed the Lord, I mean wholeheartedly followed the Lord, they have never regretted doing that. Never. Except they want to lie. Or except they did not wholeheartedly follow Him. Yeah. But people like us, or people like me who are following Him wholeheartedly, we are not really trying to gain. We are not really trying to gain anything. Yeah, we only want to gain Him. Yeah, I pray that will be your passion as well. and your desire as well. In Jesus' name. So let us look at other scriptures. The same Luke chapter 7 verse 12. Let's look at it. Luke 7 verse 12. Now, when he came nigh to the gate of the city, Luke chapter 7 verse 12. I'm coming. I think I made a mistake with the verse. Yeah, it's not Luke, it's John. John chapter 7 verse 12. John chapter 7 verse 12. And there was much murmuring among the people concerning him. For some said, he is a good man. Others said, nay, but he deceived the people. In this place, it was about Jesus. Some said he's a good man. Others said no, he deceived people. That's another example of character assassination. There will always be people who will not be comfortable with your life as a Christian and as a servant or minister of God. And you shouldn't be so touched by those who are not comfortable with your life or with your ministry, or maybe I should say you shouldn't be so moved by their actions, because it's a normal thing. They did that to Jesus himself, and Jesus did not do anything, because he was expecting that. So This type of persecution, which I call character assassination, is normal, and you should expect that. I've seen some ministers who always try as much as they can to make sure that everybody have good impression about them. But I see them as wasting their time. Because that is not scriptural. It is none of your business as a Christian or as a minister of God to be working so hard to build a good impression in the hearts of people. Or to try to do some investigation on how people think about you, how they feel about you. That's a waste of time. And that is foolishness. Because Jesus wasn't doing anything about that. the only time Jesus asked about how people feel about him was when he was trying to know if they have really received him as the Christ. And he was asking the disciples, what does people say I am? Yeah, because it was his mission to present himself as the Christ. Yeah, but he wants to know if the people have already seen that revelation. Yeah, but many of them were calling him who he wasn't. Yeah, until Peter himself said, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. So my point is that it is none of your business to be trying to find it, to be laboring to find out how people think or feel about you. Yeah. In fact, it's a waste of time, it's a waste of energy, and it's a very foolish thing. Yeah, and it's against your calling. Yeah. I pray you'll be wise and you will not commit these errors in Jesus' name. And let us also look at John chapter 9. John chapter 9 verse 24. John chapter 9 verse 24. Then again called they the man that was blind and said unto him, give God the praise. We know that this man is a sinner. Yeah. They were calling Jesus a sinner. And yeah. Though they couldn't deny the miracles that he was performing. For instance, in that chapter, he just opened the eyes of a man who was born blind. Yeah, but they couldn't receive they couldn't receive that miracle as a sign that Jesus was from God. They were against Jesus, though they couldn't deny the miracle. But the purpose of the miracle, which was to make them believe God and to believe that Jesus was from God, wasn't established. They were even calling him a sinner. Yeah. So that there will be times where people would call you a sinner, even though they can't really point at the particular sin you've committed. Yeah, or maybe they see you do something that they consider to be wrong, even though the Bible doesn't teach such things to be wrong. Yeah, so in such case, you should know that they said the same thing to Jesus. And you should not really bother yourself about that. Yeah. If we are all considering what people think about us and what they are saying about us, we cannot serve the Lord. And it will be hard for us to serve Him acceptably. Yeah, and in fact, you will not be able to fulfill your calling. Yeah, because by the time you look at the actions of people, many times you will be discouraged. Yeah, and you would not want to continue to preach. Yeah, so that is why we must follow the examples of the people in the Bible, even the example of Jesus, and then the apostles, yeah, and every other preacher and minister in the Bible. You must follow the examples, yeah, because we saw how they moved on serving the Lord in the face of very intense and serious persecutions. Yeah. I pray you will follow the good examples the Lord have recorded for us in the Bible. In Jesus' name. Let us look at another point. As I said earlier, that we would move to another point if we still have time. The one we've just talked about, I mean, the one we've been talking about, is character assassination. Now we are moving to accusations of being of the devil. So you can put "of the devil" in quotes. Yeah, you know, quotation mark. You can open a quotation mark and then write "of the devil" and then close it. Close the quotation mark. So accusations of being of the devil. Accusations of being of the devil. That is, persecutors, we look at you and look into your eyes and say you are of the devil. Yeah. Though you know that you aren't of the devil, but there will be people that will look at you and they will look straight into your eyes and then they will say you are of the devil. Whatever you are doing is not the Spirit of God that is doing them through you. Whatever miracle or revival you are doing is not by the Holy Spirit, it's by evil spirits, and they will look at you and they will tell you that. Yeah, so whenever they do that to you, you should see it as a normal thing, because they did it even to Jesus in the Bible. Now, it's funny how the things that happen in the Bible, the things that happen in the Bible, and then they are repeating themselves in our present day, and then people feel bad about it. I don't know if you get my point. Why should you feel bad about the same things that happened in the Bible, and then it's happening again? You should feel encouraged and strengthened. Yeah, because you should see yourself as fortunate to have to suffer those things for Christ's sake. Yeah, you should receive those persecutions with joy and count yourself fortunate that, oh, even the apostles and even Jesus went through this. Oh, I'm also going through the same. How fortunate I am. Yeah, but today, I don't know why Christians start reacting. If you see the way some people start fighting unbelievers. Yeah, because the unbelievers are manifesting the same thing that have been recorded in the Bible. I don't know if you're getting my point. So today we see unbelievers manifesting the same thing they did to God's servants and even to Jesus in the Bible. And then we feel bad about it. Why should we feel bad about it? Is it not a normal thing? So what we should think about is how did the Christians or the believers in the Bible, how did they react to such accusations during their time? Yeah, that is what we should look at. Not that you not start fighting and say, well, why would you say I'm of the devil? Do you know when Jesus appeared to me? Do you know when he called me to ministry? And then some preachers, they'll start placing a curse on the person. They say, I curse you. You will die young for saying that I'm of the devil. You will not prosper. And they start saying negative things. Yeah. And then I begin to wonder, did Jesus say that when he was accused of being of the devil? Did any of the apostles say that? Yeah, so we need to be careful. Yeah, even with social media content. Yeah, maybe someone wrote a post on Facebook or on any other social media platforms, and then the person put a picture of someone, of a maybe popular preacher or unpopular preacher, and then the person said, this person is of the devil. Yeah, just look at it and scroll away. It's none of your business. Yeah. Not that you now start typing, maybe because you love that person, and then you now go to the comment section, and then you now start typing, why would you say this person is of the devil? Why would you say this person is using evil spirits? It's none of your business. They did the same to Jesus and to the apostles. Let us look at some scriptures under this point. Let us look at Matthew chapter 10. Verse 24 to 25. Matthew chapter 10. Verse 24 to 25. The disciple is not above his master, nor the servant above his lord. It is enough for the disciple that he be as his master, and the servant as his lord. If they have called the master of the house Beelzebub, how much more shall they call them of his household? Yeah, Jesus was telling them that if they called him Beelzebub, Yeah, because they said he was using the spirit and power of Beelzebub to cast out devils. So Jesus was telling them that you are not more special than I am. You are my disciples. I am your master. Whatever they did to me, they will do to you. So if they call me Beelzebub, then expect that they will call you different names. Yeah. Let us also look at Matthew chapter 9, verse 34. Matthew 9:34. But the Pharisees said, he casteth out devils through the prince of the devils. Yeah, can you see that? I watched a movie about Jesus, and in that movie, one of the leaders of the Pharisees, had tried to cast out the devil. I mean, that was how the route. I'm not saying what I saw in that movie is biblical or is scriptural. Yeah, but they wrote that movie in a way that some of the Pharisees, especially some of their leaders, have attempted to cast out devils before Jesus started to do that. Yeah, that was the picture the writer of that movie was showing. Yeah, so in that movie, one of the leaders of the Pharisees made attempt to cast out the devil from Mary, according to the movie. I'm not saying that was what happened in the scripture. Yeah, but he failed. Until Jesus now met with Mary and cast out those devils. You know, the Bible says Jesus was able to cast out 7 different demons from Mary. That is Mary Magdalene. Yeah, so my point is that the Pharisees, they've had some knowledge about exorcism, that is casting out devils. Yeah, because there have been demonic and satanic operations going on in the land of Israel. So there have been cases of demonic possessions, and it was so obvious that this is a demon tormenting this life or possessing this life. And they've tried through the Old Testament, how should I even put it? Whatever wisdom they've gotten or knowledge they've gotten from the Old Testament scriptures, they've tried to sometimes solve that problem, but they couldn't. So when they saw somebody easily driving out demons, so they were like, Is it that easy? So I'm sure they've tried. Yeah. I'm not saying it's in the Bible. Yeah. But I'm sure the Pharisees have tried to do the same thing. But they couldn't. Yeah. So they felt this man must have gone into an agreement with the principality called Beelzebub before he could drive out these demons. I believe you understand. Yeah, so even after that time, they knew about principality. Even after that time, they knew about demons. Yeah, but they don't know the solution to getting freedom from demons. And here comes the solution, Jesus. Jesus is the solution. And Jesus is the deliverer. And yet they couldn't believe him. I pray you will believe in Jesus. And as you believe, he will set you free. And he will use you to set others free. In Jesus' name. Yeah, so some people would have negative mindset about the way God is using you. Yeah. For instance, or how should I say this? God can use a man or a woman in different ways. Yeah, and he remains God. Yeah. Maybe I should read for you from 1 Corinthians. So God have different operations or different ways of operating. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. I'm going to read verse 6, 1 Corinthians 12, verse 6. And there are diversities of operations, but it is the same God which worketh all in all. Yeah, can you see that? There are diversities of operations. Now, verse 7 says, but the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit without. Yeah. So diversities of operations means that God does all kinds of operations and he uses different methods to get his work done. Now the fact that some popular men of God or some respected and reputable men and women of God, they have this particular method they have been, or maybe I should say a method of their manifestation or their ministrations. And that is the way the Spirit have been using them. Doesn't mean I should follow that method. And doesn't mean you should follow that method. Yeah, the Spirit can use any method. The goal is get the job done. Yeah, that's the goal. Yeah. What God wants is that you get the job done. And God can choose the method. Yeah. For instance, some people, they feel like, why do we have to pray on water for people? Why can't we just pray and then the people believe? And then as they believe, then they should receive the miracle. Why do we have to pray or bless a water and tell them to drink it or to pour it on themselves? Yeah, so they feel like if you are beginning to pray on water, I think you are now having some covenant with marine spirits. I don't know if you are getting my point. So they feel like if you are starting to pray on water for people, or you are starting to pray on oil for people, then I think you are getting into covenant with some principalities or some marine spirit. Yeah, we should not just say that. I mean, we should not question the methods God has chosen to use to get his job done. Yeah. I believe you're getting my point. Yeah, so maybe you have thought of things like that. Don't accept, maybe the Spirit of God tells you that that particular church or ministry, the water they use or whatever they are doing with water or oil is satanic, so don't go there, don't partake. Fine. But if you are not sure, don't just talk against the method. Yeah. I hope you get my point. Yeah, because you are not there, or you weren't there when God was giving the preacher or the man of God or the woman of God the instructions on how to go about the assignment he has given to him or her. You weren't there, so you can't be so sure that that operation is satanic or demonic. Yeah, you can't be so sure. So why attack what you're not sure of? We should be patient with God's operations. There are things I have done that cannot be seen in the public, and they are God's operations. Yeah, and they are between me and God. Yeah, they are secret operations. Yeah, and they produce great results. Yeah, so we should not make ourselves enemies of God because we kind of don't understand the move of God. So if you don't understand, calm down and pray that the Lord make you understand why he is moving in that way, in the way he's moving. Yeah, not that you just come to conclusion and say, no, God cannot do this. God can't move like this. This must be a devil. This must be marine spirits. Of course, there are some operations that are obvious. You know, they are very obvious to be satanic. Yeah, they are obviously satanic and demonic. For anyone that have the Spirit of God, when you see such operations, you will know that this is not of God. Yeah, but there are some that you can't really see. Yeah, there are some that you can't really see that is of the devil, especially operations like you lay hands on people, because there's an example of that in the Bible. And then other operations like you pray on physical items, like you pray on clothes, water, oil. Yeah. Those operations are in the Bible because the Bible told us how handkerchiefs and aprons were taken from Apostle Paul to people that are sick and possessed of devils. And as those items touched those people, they were delivered and they were healed. Yeah. And ask yourself, if God used the river for water baptism, yeah, that means God uses water for spiritual operations. Yeah, and of course, his Old Testament, people have been using oil. In fact, even Jesus used oil. it's just that the Bible didn't call it oil. Yeah, Jesus also used anointing oil, but it wasn't called anointing oil. And I'm going to show you that place. I just want you to have confidence in whatever operation the Holy Ghost chooses to use to do his wonders. Yeah, and maybe he's telling you to also go in that kind of operation. You should be confident and obey him. There was a place that says Jesus gave the disciples power. Though the Bible called it power. But but it's not invisible. It's something tangible and visible. Let us read Matthew chapter 10. Matthew chapter 10, verse 1. Matthew chapter 10, verse 1. And when he had called unto him his 12 disciples, he gave them power against unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal all manner of sicknesses and all manner of disease. Now, you may think he lay hands on them and say, receive power. Receive power. No, that wasn't it. Because if that was it, what about Acts of the Apostles? Acts of the Apostles, chapter 1, verse 8. But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you. Now, he gave them power in Matthew chapter 10. Now, what other power was he talking about here? If he already gave them power in Matthew chapter 10, there's no need for them to be looking for another power. Again. So that means the power in Matthew chapter 10 was a kind of visible and tangible something. Like something maybe in a container, maybe something like anointing oil. Yeah. I don't know if you get my point. Maybe you have not had anyone tell you this before, but that's the truth. Even Jesus and his disciples, they used anointing oil. Yeah, because at that time, they have not yet received the Holy Ghost. Yeah, but Jesus wants them to have this confidence that they can also work miracles. Yeah, of course, in James too. Yeah, James mentioned about anointing people with oil, that the elders anoint sick with oil, and then the prayer of faith would heal the sick. So my point is that power in Matthew chapter 10 was something that Jesus prayed on and gave it to them. It wasn't like he lay hands on them and then they got the power. Yeah. So, whatever ways the Holy Ghost chooses to operate, surrender to that way. Yeah, don't be among the people that will be criticizing the operations of God, or that will be persecuting it or blaspheming it. Yeah. In fact, Jesus called that action sinning against the Holy Spirit. I pray that you will be wise in Jesus' name. Yeah. Let us look at another scripture. Mark 3:22. And the scribes which came down from Jerusalem said, "He hath Beelzebub, and by the prince of the devils casteth he out devils." Verse 23, and he called them unto him and said unto them in parables, "How can Satan cast out Satan? If a kingdom be divided against itself, that kingdom cannot stand." Yeah. He was telling them that, how can darkness cast out darkness? How can Satan cast out Satan if a kingdom be divided against itself? That kingdom cannot stand. Yeah, because they were accusing him of using the power of Beelzebub, a principality, to drive out evil spirits. Yeah, I would say that you should be confident in your spiritual relationship with God, and then be confident in your spiritual gift, and then be confident in your calling. Yeah, in so doing, this type of persecution will not throw you off balance. Yeah. I usually tell people that if the writers of the Old Testament, especially the prophets who wrote many portions of the prophetic books in the Old Testament, if they weren't sure of their connection and relationship with God, how would they be able to write down those words as words from God? Yeah, you know, today, if you receive a message from God, your pastor will say, "Check the Bible. What does the Bible say about what you have heard? Maybe you had a voice." Yeah, your pastor will say, "What does the Bible say about what you heard?" Or maybe you saw a revelation. Your pastor or your mentor can say, "What does the Bible say about it?" Now, what about in a situation where there was no Bible? And then you receive the message, a divine message from heaven. Or you had an encounter with a messenger of God, an angel of God from heaven. So in that case, how can you be sure that the message was actually from God? How can you be sure that it's not an angel of Satan appearing to become an angel of the light? How can you be sure that it's not Satan or one of the principalities trying to deceive and confuse you? Yeah, because I want you to know that principalities can give you encounters and revelations that will be very similar to what any other angel can do, or even to what the Holy Ghost does. Yeah, because I've experienced that before. They can speak to you in a very clear and loud voice, and it will look exactly the same as that of the Holy Spirit. And they can give you visions and dreams and revelations and encounters that will look exactly the same. Sometimes it will even look more real. More real than the ones that comes from God. So now, ask yourself, how can I be so sure that, how can I be so sure that what I had in my spirit or what I saw was from God? Or maybe we should say, how was the Old Testament prophet so sure? People like Ezekiel, Jeremiah, Elijah, Elisha, Isaiah. How were they so sure that all that happened to them was from God and not from a kind of principality? Yeah, have you ever asked yourself that question before? Because if they weren't sure, they wouldn't write those things down as the word of God. Yeah. So that comes to the point that, I mean, that brings me to the point that, yeah, that says there is more to being confident in your connection and relationship with God than following, or maybe I should say, than using the Bible as the judging, or the judgment instrument to judge whether whatever you saw in the spirit or heard in the spirit is from God. There is more to that assurance and confidence than using the Bible to judge your revelations. So I'm saying that you can get so deep in your relationship with God that you can be 100% sure of whatever message you have received in the realm of the spirit, or whatever dream, or whatever revelation. You can get to that place in God where you are 100% sure. Yeah, I'm not saying you will hear things that are contrary to the Bible, but I'm saying you wouldn't need to be using the Bible to confirm, or you wouldn't need to ask someone else and say, please pray, this is what I saw, pray and help me confirm. You wouldn't need to do any of that. You will just know that this thing that I have that I saw or that I heard is from the Lord. You will just know. Is a depth in relationship with God. So, and once you have known that, and you are so sure of that, just follow it. Yeah, just follow the vision. Yeah, you're going to see where our Apostle Paul said, He said his gospel and his teachings were not taught him by man. He said nobody taught him. Yeah, that everything he said was his own revelation from the Lord. Yeah, that his ministry, his ministrations, his teachings were based on revelations from the Lord. Though he went to the apostles, yeah, you know, he wasn't part of the followers of Jesus when Jesus was still on earth. Yeah, he joined the church after Jesus had gone. Yeah, so he didn't have first-hand experience of many things Jesus taught. And many things Jesus did and said. Yeah, but when he joined, he paid attention to the teachings of the apostles that were before him, and he even went to them for counsels, for advice, and I'm sure he asked people like Peter, John, James, he asked them a lot of questions. Yeah, but he was able to say boldly in his letters that everything he has been teaching and preaching and doing in his ministry was not based on what anybody taught him. Though he learned from many of those that were before him, but he said his ministry was not based on anything someone taught him. So which means that he got special revelations from Jesus himself. So what others taught him was just a guide to him getting his own revelations from Jesus himself, even Jesus who called him into ministry. And he was so sure of those revelations that he was willing to die defending it. Yeah, so that is my point. If you are so sure of what the Lord has confirmed to you to be the truth, you will not look at what anybody says. You will not surrender to any form of persecution. You will be so serious and so committed and so dedicated to following what you believe as an heavenly vision, to doing what you believe as a divine revelation or a divine instruction directly from God to you. Yeah, some people, if you ask them, why are you doing this? They say, oh, my pastor said we should do this. Which is wrong. Yeah, so you are doing it because the pastor said, not because you have confirmed that this thing is the truth, and you are so sure about it. Yeah, that is how to live, actually. Yeah, I pray that your relationship with God will be very deep, that you'll be able to follow God without any doubt or confusion. In Jesus' name. Let us quickly round off. Let us look at the last verse, John chapter 10, verse 20. John 10, verse 20. And many of them said, he hath a devil and is mad. Why hear ye him? Yeah, that was what they were saying about Jesus. They said he has a he had a devil in him, and that he's mad. Yeah, and they were talking to people listening to him, that why are you listening to a madman? Why are you listening to someone that has a devil? So that is also character assassination. Yeah. And of course, it's also backing up the point we are looking at, which is accusations of being of the devil, of the devil. Yeah, somebody said a man of the spirit is a madman. Yeah, and that statement is current. Yeah, because they called Jesus a mad person. Yeah, so if you follow the spirit 100%, you are likely to be called a mad person. Yeah, because the ways of the spirit are directly against the ways of the flesh, which of course means the ways of human beings or the nature of human beings. So the nature of the spirit and the ways of the spirit is directly and completely against the nature of humans and the ways of humans. And of course, the ways of humans is the ways of the world. Yeah, so if you follow the spirit perfectly and correctly, you would definitely appear as a mad person to the people of the world. Yeah, because spiritual things can only be spiritually discerned. Yeah. There are things that I have known that if I would be sharing it to some people that are not spiritual, even those people may be Christians. Yeah, but because they are not spiritual, they would say I'm mad, or I'm delusional. Yeah, and I wouldn't blame them, because I know that those things don't really make sense to humans. Yeah. But those things are true. Yeah. Very true. I'm going to stop here. You may have questions. You can ask on the group. Yeah, I know some churches or some ministries, they probably have closed for the year. Yeah, but we are not closing for the year. So all our programs still continue. Yeah, so God is not telling us to close for the year. Yeah, so all our programs still continue, especially the midnight prayer sessions. We are not stopping that. Yeah, and of course, the Bible study classes also still continues. Though we've suspended the Healing Streams program for now. Yeah, and as the Lord leads us, we will resume that. Yeah, we'll still resume that. Yeah, but for now, it's suspended. Yeah, so if you have questions based on tonight's teaching, you can ask on the group. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for everything you have shown us in today's teaching. Thank you for making us to see beyond the letters. Thank you for showing us deep things concerning knowing you and concerning being sure, being confident in our faith. And thank you for also showing us that we should follow you wholeheartedly. Thank you also for showing us how we should stand against all these kinds of persecutions, how we should respond, how we should not allow the persecutions to move us and to discourage us and to stop us. Thank you, Lord, for all these things you have shown us. Be praised forever in Jesus' name. I pray for everyone here that you help them to grow in their personal relationships with you in Jesus' name. And I pray that whenever they are being persecuted, I pray that you help them to overcome and to stand firm in you without shaking and without falling in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, for I know you have answered. In Jesus' mighty name, we have prayed. Amen. Remain blessed.